Okay, thank you. You can all sit down. And Ruby is going to come up and read. Ruby just got the reading 30 seconds ago. So if we could all give her a bit of grace.
Summing up, be agreeable, be sympathetic, be loving, be compassionate, be humble. That goes for all of you. No expectations, no retaliation, no sharp-tongued sarcasm. Instead, bless. That's your job, to bless. You'll be a blessing and also get a blessing. Whoever wants to embrace life and see the day fill up with good, here's what you do. Say nothing evil or hurtful. Snub evil and cultivate good. Run after peace for all you're worth. God looks on all this with approval, listening and responding well to what he's asked. But he turns his back on those who do evil things. If with heart and soul you're doing good, do you think you can be stopped? If you suffer for it, you're still better off. Don't give the opposition a second thought. Through thick and thin, keep your hearts at attention. In adoration before Christ, your master, be ready to speak up and tell anyone who asks why you're living the way you are. And always with the utmost courtesy, keep a clear conscience before God, so that when people throw mud at you, none of it will stick. They'll end up realizing that they're the ones who need a bath. It's better to suffer for doing good, if that's what God wants, than to be punished for doing bad. That's what Christ did, definitely. Suffered because of others' sins, the righteous one for the unrighteous ones. He went through it all, was put to death, and then made alive to bring us to God.
Thanks, Ruby. I'm sure you won't be angry at me later. Okay, so to bring us into our sermon on evangelism, I have a Disney sing-along that we're going to cut off short. Now, you don't have to sing along to it, because that would be awkward for everyone here. But unless Anne wants to, you're welcome to lead the pack. I want you to think about evangelism while you're watching it, and then I'm going to explain why I chose this video. So if we could bring the video up, that'd be great.
My dear, sweet child, that's what I do. It's what I live for, to help unfortunate merfolk like yourself. Poor souls with no one else to turn to. I admit that in the past I've been a nasty. They weren't kidding when they called me, well, a witch. But you'll find that nowadays I've mended all my ways, repented, seen the light, and made a switch. 2 years. And I fortunately knew a little magic. It's a talent that I always have possessed. And here lately, please don't laugh, I use it on behalf of the miserable, lonely, and depressed. Pathetic. Poor unfortunate souls in pain, in need. This one longing to be thinner, that one wants to get the girl, and do I help them? Yes, indeed. Those poor unfortunate souls, so sad, so true. They come flocking to my cauldron, crying, spells, Ursula, please, and I help them. Yes, I do. Now it's happened once or twice. Someone couldn't pay the price, and I'm afraid I had to rake them across the coals. Yes, I've had the odd complaint, but on the whole, I've been a saint to those poor unfortunate souls. Now, here's the deal. I will make you a potion.
Did anybody else find that amusing? Someone was describing how they were telling someone about Jesus to me a few weeks ago, and they called him a poor, unfortunate soul. and I couldn't help but thinking about Ursula. And then I realized that actually I have been like Ursula on so many occasions when I've regarded that I have the answer and that everyone else is this poor, unfortunate soul who I just need to bring to church. So the process of evangelizing is a messy one, much like our process of faith. The verses that stood out for me that Ruby read, so many beautiful, beautiful verses in that. And if you would like to read it along, your translation's different, but it's 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 18. But the verses that stood out to me is clearly the first one, no sharp tongue sarcasm for obvious reasons. Run after peace for all your worth. And the one that I would like to highlight today is be ready to speak up and tell anyone who asks why you're living the way you are, and always with the utmost courtesy. So most of you know part of my faith journey before I arrived in Edinburgh. Just to explain to those who maybe haven't been here before, this is my last service with St. Thomas's, so this isn't going to be a normal message. I'm going to share some parts of my journey alongside this process of evangelism. Because on reflecting on my time here, I realized that my theology and my views of evangelism have been shaped by my time. So before I came here, I was sent to Sunday school as a kid. My family didn't bring me to church. But whenever I was six, I moved two doors down from a pastor's family. The pastor's family were of this massive mega church in Northern Ireland that I'm sure a lot of you know, called Whitewell. They pretty much brought me in. I went to GB with them. I went to Sunday school twice, three times on a Sunday. I went to their prayer meetings, their Bible studies. While I was a kid, I thought communion was free food and free juice during the service, which was great until I got it snatched off me. I thought, that's so rude. Why would you take that off me? I thought it was free drinks. Obviously not. But during that time, I became a Christian from age 13. So they brought me right up from age 6 to 13. I started to learn a wee bit about Jesus. But my views of God as a child were that he was some man up in the sky that was very, very distant and really disapproving of me and just wanted to tell me whenever I was wrong, which I felt was quite a lot. After that, whenever I was 15, my church had a massive church split that was thrashed all over the newspapers and our local news, which wasn't pretty nice, but I moved to the split church, which wasn't very good at all. But in that church, we were taught a lot of legalism and a lot of what Ursula was like. So one of the things that happened whenever I was a teenager was I went to the youth group and I was their youth leader and stuff whenever I was 16, 17. The local garage was closed, so I went into the off-license to buy Diet Coke and Coke because it was on offer. And by the time I'd got back to the church, someone had seen me, rang into the church office and complained about seeing me there so that the pastors could then go through their discipline with me. So that was the type of church that I became a Christian in and the type of church that I grew in. So you can imagine why I ended up being like Ursula and thinking, all these people are so wrong and they need Jesus. And the way my church would have described Christians like me was on fire. And it's very safe to say that Scotland put out my fire, really threw a bucket of water over me and planted my feet to the ground instead. Scotland showed me the beauty of the two verses. Be ready to speak up and tell anyone who asks why you're living the way you are and always with the utmost courtesy. And the second one, run after peace for all your worth. So personally, a lot of you know that I've struggled on and off with my mental health throughout all this time. But thank you to Scotland, to people I've met here, and to the wonderful NHS. I've learned the beauty of the verse, run after peace for all that you're worth. Between people inside and mainly outside of church, I've seen that Jesus values me as a person and wants me to be well, and he wants me to run after peace. And peace for me, and peace for all of you. Because believe it or not, we're actually worth having peace. That sounds maybe something that you've heard every day, but I heard it a lot growing up, that Jesus loves me, but I didn't actually understand what that looked like for myself until I moved to Scotland. So in Scotland, I found a holy peace that I know I will keep and protect and run after for the rest of my life. The next thing that Scotland has taught me is theology, which sounds a bit funny. So some of you know that I went to Bible college before I came here, which was great. It's where I met Jeremy. Jeremy says that I didn't go because he never seen me there. And that is true because I didn't go to very many classes. But Jeremy did, so he tells me everything that I missed. So Bible college, we did a 3-year theology degree. I was very much more the practical one that never wanted to be there and didn't really see the point, which is quite absurd, but I was having fun doing other things. But what I had still learned was that it's all very black and white, like this is what God says and that's it. What I've learned here is that it's actually sometimes good to move in the gray. And in my black and whiteness, like Ursula, I maybe portrayed having compassion and love for others, and I maybe genuinely thought that I did, and whenever I was inviting them to church, I really thought I would have. But actually, I didn't, because I wasn't caring for where they were at or where their situation was. So what Scotland has taught me is from moving to that stance of having little compassion is to move in a stance of listening and having compassion for people whilst trying to honor Jesus. So whenever I first got the job here, before actually, Dave does this thing that he wants to have like a pre-interview before your actual interview sometimes. So he brought me out to Starbucks and I was really confused about why I was there and if it was an interview or not. But during that time, he told me that Scotland was the fastest secularizing country in Europe. And I kind of thought, yeah, like everyone thinks that about their own country. But I actually realized that my black and white self didn't know what to do with all of the gray of Scotland. Socializing with people inside and outside of church, listening to them, loving them, and learning from them, which has been the most important thing, has taught me that I'm so far beyond having all the answers. And if anything my theology degree taught me, it was that I will never even begin to grasp everything that God has for this world and for my life. And for people in my life, I can try and get to know him. And I feel like the rest of my life is going to be getting to know God more and more every day because I'm not even going to begin to know half of him. The time in the schools has been tricky at times. I'm sure you would agree. It has been hard to get used to a completely different school than I was brought up in. The schools I went to were Ballyclare High and Belfast Royal Academy, which are very high-achieving schools, which you can imagine didn't suit me well in the slightest. But we were taught that we had to pray every day, so we had to go into assemblies and pray with our headmaster or our teacher. We had to sing hymns and stand up. Whenever our teachers entered a room, we had to stand up until they told us to sit down. My skirt was an ankle skirt, so started here, ended up my ankles, big gray pleats. We had to wear a blazer every day. So whenever I came here, I was like, oh my goodness, what is this? But actually, I've realized again the beauty of the gray, that it doesn't have to be so rigid and so tight, and that God actually has so much more for us in that. Scotland has taught me to be prepared that my life looks weird to other people, that my attitude about the world is odd. But like 1 Peter says, to be ready to explain why with humility and not with superiority. A lot of you guys know that one of my big activities outside of church, and I'll put it politely, is aerial dancing. Now, I'm sure you know what that actually is. But the girls there have taught me more about God than most people. What they have taught me is that I can go in and love the body that God gave me to love myself in this group of dancing. There's girls all different shapes and all different sizes, all different religions. And whenever they see the tattoos on my back, I have a cross on my back and I have a Bible verse on my foot tattooed on me. They just say, oh, that's really weird. What does that mean? Explain to them. And they've taught me how to explain with utmost courtesy. And in that, I've been able to share about Jesus and hear from them about their views. At Danson, we have a mix of I'm the only Christian, there's a few Buddhists, there's a few witches, and there's a few atheists. Big, big range of people that I've never been able to socialize with before. And they've taught me to never go in and be like Ursula whenever I'm speaking to them, but instead to actually want to know where they're at and want to know why Jesus loves them and to see that he created them so beautifully. So if it hasn't been clear through this, my journey of evangelism has been really, really messy because I've decided from now on to evangelize by not evangelizing, in the sense that I've decided to spend my life with other people, loving them and investing in them, being genuinely interested in their lives, because that's what Scotland has taught me about evangelism, about God and about people. So for me, my conclusion of Scotland is that it will always be a place of deep healing for me and deep revelation. I know I have so much more that I could say, but I'm just going to leave it at that.